Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and it's a Friday here, and we're getting ready to head on down to beautiful Orlando.
Yeah, tomorrow's our travel day, and then you get to drive Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 10 to 12 each day.
Yeah,
and we'll have some guests on. And
I'm pretty psyched about talking to Florida. And, you know, get a little sun, perfect time of year.
And it's going to be colder here, so that's never bad.
And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, I mean, we're kind of in an NFL lull right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've kind of hit a little bit of a dry period. And when I say that, it's like a 2 or 3 day drive period, because then everyone goes to Orlando, and I'm sure things will be picking up there.
All kinds of stuff will be talked about down there for sure. But I wanted to kick off the show today, Matt, by kind of doing our look at the top 20 guys who we would take at 20. And we do this every year for new listeners. We typically we'll do our own list, but I thought this year let's just do
I think it's a fun
combined list, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of difference on there.
No, I mean, we can rank them over the next week or whatever, but I mean, like, I think we should kind of, we could do it a lot of different ways. I mean, like, one category might be, would you trade the 20th pick for this guy today?
Yeah.
And then there's another category of maybe.
Right.
You know, let's see how it goes, you know, like. And I bet we get more than 20 if we do it that way.
Although,
too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
We're going to eliminate the quarterbacks.
Okay.
Because they're not taking a first-round quarterback, and they won't be available at 20 anyways.
However, then we only need 16 names or whatever.
But we still, you know, we still take 20, because if that gives you the names for trade downs.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's a moot point, of course, but would I trade the 20th pick for Caleb Williams right now?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, so that takes one of the numbers
that's
out of there.
But, unrealistic.
Okay. So what do we do about Marvin Harrison then? And Neighbors. I mean, like.
Well, I think you put the receivers in there.
Okay. So let's not do quarterback.
Because they're not in the quarterback market.
Okay.
That's the difference. They're not in the running back market. I mean, they're not in the
they're not going to end up with Joe Alt either.
Yeah.
But he's going to be in our top 20.
Right.
Okay. That's fine by me. I'm cool with that.
So at one, is it Marvin Harrison?
Should we just build the guys we're considering and then rank them? You know what I mean? Like,
well, we'll talk about all these guys.
Okay. I think he's probably one for me.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I think if he were available to them.
I think he's a better prospect than any of the tackles.
Yeah.
I think Neighbors would be two.
Okay.
Because I think they're pretty close, to be honest with you. So it's not like there's a shortage of receivers, but
they're different.
They're different, but I'm just saying those two are really high-end prospects, even compared to the tackles.
Now the question becomes, is the next guy on the board Roma Dunzie? Is it J.C. Latham? Is it Joe Alt?
Yeah. I think those are the three options. And I'm going to value positions here, too.
Like, yeah.
Powers Johnson might not reflect super well, you know. Side note, I'm starting to like the day two, day three centers a little bit more outside the top three. Like, I don't know if they're the answer. They're not going to be the next Mike Webster type, but Bortolini and the Penn State dude, those guys aren't bad. So, okay. Anyway, I think I'd go Rome. But there's a gap here.
Yeah.
I think Latham was your number one tackle. I'm trying to remember, but
he may have been. I can't remember now. They're very close.
Okay.
The only the difference between the two is that Alt's left tackle and Latham's right.
I mean, I know Broderick.
But that really doesn't matter as much.
I'm not going to factor that in too much. I mean, Jonathan Ogden played guard for a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they'll figure it out. I think it's a conversation of Rome versus Alt. Which, of course, isn't going to matter in the end.
Right.
You know, you're not going to trade up to six.
I think I would put Ault first.
Okay.
Just because that's he's a true left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there aren't many of those in this draft.
On the planet.
Yeah. Most of these guys in this draft are right tackles.
Okay.
For the most part.
I'm fine with that. I think he's very safe, too.
Yeah. And then I think Roma Dunzier is third.
Okay. That's fourth. Fine with me.
Again, these are probably guys that the Steelers aren't going to be able to get. But
no, right. But
if something were to happen where one of those guys started falling down to, say, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Maybe even 9.
Now you would consider a trade up. Yeah.
Like, that's my third best player on the board, and we can get him at a discount.
Yeah. I think Latham's fifth.
I would say Latham's my vote for fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else is even in the conversation? No running backs, no quarterbacks.
No.
I think Brock Bauer's name will be on this list somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if he was... Somebody asked me that on social media the other day.
I saw that.
If Brock Bowers is available at 20, do the Steelers take him? I'm like, yeah.
I think you just say yes, yeah.
Because he's just a weapon.
Yeah, right. You know, he'd be on the field a lot. Yeah. So I think he's in the conversation.
The question we have, like, so for the edges, they're not taking an edge in the first round.
There's a lot of tackles I'd take before these edges.
Yeah.
I mean, if Lawrence Taylor was in this draft, I would take
him. That's different, yeah.
These guys, they don't move the needle enough to do that. All the corners I'd take before edges. There's
yeah.
no. Well, Bowers is the only tight end. We're not doing quarterbacks. I don't think there's any running backs. I'm not
right.
speaking for you, but I don't think there's any guards.
Depends on what you consider Barton.
I'm calling
I
him
guess.
A center, but yeah. Okay. But we'll just call it offensive lineman. There's no linebackers for me.
I agree.
Edges right. might make the top 20, but not for a while.
I mean, I think we can get to 20 without putting any edges in
there's
there.
A good chance. We might get to the Guyton's and Barton's and those type of dudes before we take a verse.
Because, folks, no matter what teams say when they talk about best player available, 99.9% of the time, the best player available taken is, if they take a player and say it's the best, he just happened to be the best player available at a position of need.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure every team does this a little bit differently, but when you put a final number grade on Dallas Turner, I mean, really good player, you know,
yeah.
it might be higher than Tyler Guyton's. Okay. Doesn't mean you take him ahead of him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean,
because the position of need is, yeah. I mean, you're not going to.
What would Dallas Turner do here?
You know, it's like what happened with the, you know, what used to be the Pro Football Focus draft simulator.
Mm-hmm.
The one time I just said, oh, I noticed they give you an A-plus every time you take a quarterback. So I took a quarterback in every round, got A-pluses all the way down across.
And then you cut half of them, yeah.
But that's not realistic.
Right. Not at all. Okay. So I think there's some positions we can eliminate. Who's our consensus top tackle on the board?
I mean, whether it's Ault or what? You mean offensive or defensive?
No, remaining.
Oh.
Offensive.
For me, it's Fuaga.
I think he was three for me as well.
Yeah.
So, do we like him more than Brian Thomas? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think if that were the...
I like him more than Powers Johnson.
Yes.
I like him more than all the corners.
Yes.
And the defensive linemen. I'm not sure any defensive linemen will make our list.
Not these defensive linemen.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they might draft one, but not in top 20. Okay, I'm cool with that.
Okay. Seven is where it gets...
I think it's the Washington tackle.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I thought we wouldn't fight on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are we considering a corner?
See, that's what I was going to ask you. We're starting to get into that range where...
Just to pull back the curtain, we do our triple takes where we do our top five, and I'm going to write corner as soon as we're done recording here. So I'm not even sure what my top five is. It's one of the reasons I didn't write them last night.
I've been going back and forth between two guys.
There's three in consideration for me, but we could even talk through that. Would you take any of them ahead of – oh, I would take the Penn State tackle here.
Oh, yeah. He's –
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he goes ahead of any corner.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And now we're into cornerbacks. And I think for the Steelers specifically, I think Quinn Mitchell –
I mean, he's certainly in my consideration.
Yeah.
And
I didn't rank him first. I may change that tonight. I don't know.
I mean, we're doing these generically for the triple take, not we don't speak for the Steelers.
But I think he has more traits.
Yeah.
Than the
I think
other
they
guys.
Will like him a lot.
Yeah.
Would you take him over Brock Bowers?
Yes.
I think I would take Bowers. Not a need, but I can get a corner in day two. I don't need a tight end at all, though. Would
right.
you take him over?
That would give you four drafted tight ends on your roster, mm-hmm. which is really rare.
Would you take
like
him
in
over?
The last 4 years, too.
Right.
That's a lot of drafts.
But they need, I mean, I just think he lessens their need for wide receiver a great deal.
True.
You know, you'd play exclusively two receivers if you had Brock Bowers on your team. But I'm cool with that. Maybe I'd take all three of the, I'm just talking through it. I might take all three of those corners ahead of Bowers.
Again, we're probably talking about something that has no chance of happening.
Of course.
So,
what about Powers Johnson versus a corner? Versus corner one.
Versus corner one? Yeah. I think you go with corner one.
I would too. I definitely would. I mean, it didn't work out this year, but you can find centers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just position value. What about Mims?
I like the corners better than Mims.
Okay. So our next three guys corners as we talk through this?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I think the next two will be. Who are your two you're considering?
Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold.
Okay. I'd still have DeGene in that conversation.
Yeah. I can't. He's not one, though.
He won't be one for me. I'm not sure. He might be two. So maybe our next three are Mitchell, Arnold, DeGene?
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. I think that's fair. Now, do we have a Georgia war between Mims and Bowers?
I'm going to type these in here.
All right.
I'm writing these down for you.
So. Okay.
It was Terrion Arnold.
Yeah.
And
Cooper DeGene was the third one.
I like Mims better than
Guyton. I would take Mims ahead of Guyton or Bowers.
But would you take Jackson Powers Johnson ahead of those guys?
Not ahead of Mims.
See, I would.
Okay.
I think he's more of a sure thing.
Oh, I do too.
And plays now, whereas I think Mims comes in and probably has to sit a year.
They would be my top two available, though, Powers Johnson and Mims.
Yeah.
I can live with Powers Johnson ahead of him. So how many names do we have there?
That's 12.
Is that including Mims?
Mims is 13.
Mims is 13. Okay. Are we missing any tackles? Because there's so many.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6.
We have Washington and Oregon State and Penn State. Okay.
Yep.
Now I think you start to consider Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas is in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you consider Guyton.
I would take Brian Thomas ahead of Guyton.
I would too.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's up. Would you take any of the edges over Guyton?
No. No, the edges are...
Or the fourth corner.
Maybe. I mean,
who's that off the top of my head? It wouldn't be Kool-Aid for me. It would be...
I'm trying to think of who I had on. These things bounce around so much. You're looking at maybe Nate Wiggins?
Yeah, I think Wiggins was my four.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be my four. Wiggins versus Guyton... Versus Barton, versus Frazier.
That's what you're talking about here now, yeah.
We already put Bowers down, right?
No, we haven't.
I think Bowers goes here then.
Okay.
Okay. I would definitely take him over all those guys.
Okay, yeah, I would too.
I mean, I think he's more special than them.
If Brock Bowers were there at 20, now you're trading down.
Assuming
somebody,
people call him.
Somebody
probably
wants to come up and get him.
I would think. You know, Chiefs might want him.
Yeah.
All right. So how?
That's 15.
Okay. I think now the names are Wiggins, Dallas Turner. I'd probably say no. Guyton, Barton. Do we agree Barton over Frazier? I think he's going to go ahead of him, but that doesn't answer what we're doing for the Steelers.
We're not taking Frazier at 20, though.
No. But the point now, I don't think I'm taking any of these guys at 20 because.
Well, these would be guys you would trade back.
Yeah.
Like, to me, so.
Like, I don't know if I can use a first round pick.
The way I look at this is Brian Thomas would be the last player I would take at 20.
I think that's correct. I would include Bowers.
Well, Bowers, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bowers, so those first 15 of the guys I would take at 20 if they were still there.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're not there, then you prefer to trade back.
I like but don't love this group.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you will because three quarterbacks at least are gone. I mean,
well,
maybe
three quarterbacks, a couple of edge rushers.
Yeah. I mean, the guys now probably will.
It might be four quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. I would say there could be seven guys we're not interested already gone.
Yeah.
Three edges and four quarterbacks. If you're
maybe a defensive tackle.
Maybe a defensive tackle, yeah, if things go well. Okay, so let me throw out more names. A.D. Mitchell or whoever your wide receiver five is. Mine was Mitchell, but I have some concerns about him.
I think mine was McConkey.
Okay. Guyton.
Guyton.
This seems like the Guyton spot.
I think Guyton. I think Guyton is there.
Yeah. Okay. And then now I don't think we're going to be staying on the table for any of the receivers at this moment.
Now but we're down to 17.
What about Barton versus Wiggins?
Well, we still have Wiggins there. Yeah, I think
I'd take Wiggins.
I think I'd take
Barton.
Wiggins. Yeah,
I would take Wiggins over Barton. But I think I'd take Barton over corner five. Which to me is probably Kool-Aid at this point. So Barton versus wide receiver five versus corner five.
I think I'd go Barton.
I think Barton's kind of standing out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we call them wide receiver five and corner five isn't a ring endorsement for who it would be.
Now we get 19.
So we need one more name.
We need two more.
I mean, we could throw two edge rushers in there, but I don't think
they're not taking an edge rusher. I don't think there's any.
I think that hurts.
I think it might end up being the final two cornerbacks, unless you want to stand on the table for a wide receiver here.
What about BYU tackle? I'm just trying to think outside the box a little. Is there any of the Arizona tackle wouldn't do it for me?
No, he might be a guard.
He might be a guard. I think he probably is. It seems early for Sumataya. Definitely not another tight end. A lot of receivers are appealing, but
there's so many.
I'll just wait. I think Kool-Aid's probably next then.
And then 20 might be Zach Frazier.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Based on need.
Mm-hmm. Not another tackle, huh? I was wondering if we're forgetting a tackle.
I think if it came down to it and you're in, let's say you do make a trade down and a trade up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that second pick is probably, if they were staring there at Frazier and Suamataya, I think they take Frazier.
Let's say they take a receiver in round one.
Yeah.
And those are the two, that's the conversation. Yeah, I probably agree with you. You know, like, I think the way that we should phrase it is our most desired players. Like, I'm not considering Frazier at 20.
Right.
But you don't have to.
Right.
If you had an offer that blew your socks off and it took you down to 29.
The question would be, if I moved down to 29, would I be comfortable taking Frazier there?
Yeah,
I probably would.
I probably would. That's about the neighborhood. Like,
because,
24, I wouldn't.
Yeah, after those first 24, 25 picks, those next 30 or 40 guys might all have the same grade on them or very similar grades.
And he's a starter.
And he's a starter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. He's 20 then, huh?
Yeah. So what we came up with, Marvin Harrison.
Sure.
Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, Roma Dunzier, J.C. Latham, Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fatanu, Olu Fashanu, Fatanu and Fashanu right next to each other.
And Fuaga. Yeah.
And Fuaga, right. Yes.
Those three, I think, could be in any order for me.
Yeah, yeah, they could go honest, off. They could go off in any order. It's just going to depend on what the team wants.
Mm-hmm.
At 9 is Quinion Mitchell. 10 is Terrion Arnold. 11, Cooper DeJean.
Okay.
12, Jackson Powers Johnson. 13, Amarius Mims. 14, Brian Thomas. See, I think that group right there might be.
I would say, where do we draw the line?
When we end up doing our mock drafts, a lot of times those are the three guys that we end up picking.
Thomas versus Mims versus Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
That we have had that conversation
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So this is kind of the sweet spot here. That DeJean, Arnold, Powers Johnson, Mims, Thomas.
Yeah, I don't DeJean think in that number.
Yeah, I don't think Bowers is going to be there.
No.
Guyton probably is, though.
I think he will be.
Wiggins probably is. Good chance.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance.
Barton probably is.
See, that's what I kind of like about it is those four. Do we have them? I'm not sure if we even have them all right in a row, but they're all very close. DeJean, Thomas, Mims, Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
80% of our drafts, they're all there at 20.
Those are the guys we're looking at, yeah.
And if you can go to 23 and let them decide for you, or go to 24, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Well, this is why you do a list like this, and the Steelers do.
Of course.
At least they always, they have in previous years, have done a list like this. These 20 guys. And when you get to that year 20, your pick at 20, there might be six of them still on the list. And you say, okay, we can move back six spots. We don't want to trade back to maybe we don't want to trade back to 29 or 30. Or because you don't have any of the edge rushers on here, maybe you do.
Maybe you do. Right. Or maybe you add four or five more names. Can we leave this draft with two of them?
Yeah.
You know, like if you trade back in one, trade up in two, you know, or. You get this list right where we have it now and say, we are going to get one of these players.
Yeah.
I mean, unless someone offers us the craziest trade that we can't say no to.
I mean, ideally, you'd come out of this with two of these guys on this on your list of 20, and
you're
then you're golden. Yeah.
Yeah. Which isn't crazy.
No.
I mean, Frazier might be there in 51.
Right.
I mean, maybe, you know.
Which I think is kind of what happened when they got Pat Freiermuth.
Exactly.
They wanted Najee Harris. He was high on the list. And then Freiermuth, they still had a first-round grade on in the second round. They said, we got to take him.
They knew Pitts was gone.
Yeah.
He was tight end two, and there wasn't a clear tight end three nipping on his heels. Yeah. No, I think that's a good way of putting it.
Okay.
And then, like, every Byron Murphy or Verse or quarterback.
Yeah, they're not going to be interested in those guys.
Yeah. You just want them
you
to go.
Want those guys to go.
You want anyone to go that is not on the
you
list.
You want, like, seven or eight of those guys to go.
Yeah, maybe an odd receiver. Someone has to have worthy speed. You know,
yeah.
Okay. Fine. It doesn't hurt you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. That was our list of 20. We'll update that as we get closer to the draft here. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, Mel Kiper has updated his first-round projection here. Let's take a look at what Mel has on his latest.
I didn't look at it yet. I haven't clicked on it, but I was listening to their first draft podcast with him and Field Yates, and it implied to me that he has some goofy names at the end. Not goofy, but outside
different.
The box stuff.
Yeah.
Which I've told you guys this before. I have a lot of respect for Mel. I think I have every one of his blue books he ever wrote since I was like 8 years old, and he stopped doing it, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. But he hears things.
Yeah.
And whenever somebody pops into round one that I've never seen him there, it's because he's hearing things.
Yeah. So he has at one, no surprise, Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
At two, he has Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
That's becoming more and more...
chalkier, yeah.
Yeah, more and more the way this goes. At three, he has Drake May. And this is one, I want to dig into this when we get down to the owners' meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have somebody on from the Patriots. I'll see if we can get some people there.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk to them and see, are they in on the quarterback this year? Or is this a bridge year for them?
It's hard to like three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, we're just happy with whatever third one we get. It's different if you're like the Vikings and you love Drake May and you want to get there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
that's
going to,
like, you could trade that third pick.
For so much this
year. For so much.
More than most years.
And if you're if you're the Patriots and all of a sudden you can get a couple of first round picks in this draft and maybe something next year.
Yeah.
That's you're not winning this year.
So, agreed.
And you're a new head coach.
Yep. You
with the new GM,
right.
You got a leash there.
The big guy's out of the building. You know, I mean, it's time, everything's changing. And I didn't think the Steelers would get Fields for as cheap as they did. But I thought long and hard, if I were the Patriots, why don't you trade for Fields and Brissett and draft Marvin Harrison there or trade it to the best, whatever, you know, a guy like that. And see where the chips fall. And you're probably going to be picking the top five next year anyway. So I know he has Drake May going there, and that very well could happen, or Daniels, or whatever. I mean, they may take a quarterback at three. But that poor guy is falling into a
really bad
spot. Really bad. You're not doing him any favors at all.
I mean, one of their big signings of the offseason is Austin Hooper.
Yeah, I mean, you're throwing Juju and Hooper, and I mean, that's what you got.
Hooper might beat Juju in a race right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's Hunter Henry. I mean, those guys are okay players. There's nothing that scares anybody on that offense.
Yeah.
And a bad line.
And a bad line, yeah. So I if I were them, I would consider, well, Greg Bedard on from from Boston.
But if the Vikings would give you both those first-round picks and something else,
yeah,
like, I'm listening.
Yeah, right. You can get
And use them all on offense.
And maybe
take a
tackle
and Brian Thomas. Or
maybe
whatever,
you don't love Drake May, and get Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be competitive.
You'll be fine for this year. Yeah.
At four, he has Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, and they came out and said, "Hey, give us a call if you want to come up too." But they need to start getting stars.
But that's the one that you know. So if you're calling the Cardinals, or you're not going to make that trade early.
No.
Because somebody can still jump ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're pretty sure if you're one of these teams who are in the quarterback market, that the first two teams in a draft are going quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But you're not going to trade up to four unless you really love J.J. McCarthy.
I was going to say, maybe the Vikings love McCarthy.
Yeah, that would be the only way that you do that, because somebody else can still leapfrog you and get ahead of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you would have to love four quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Most teams aren't going to love four quarterbacks.
The same thing at five, because I know when we did our mock draft, it's up now on Steelers.com, you can go check that out.
Yeah.
I had Minnesota trading up to four to get the quarterback. You had them trading up with the Chargers to get the quarterback. Those would have to be deals that are done like the day of the draft.
Like, you don't want to get stuck with Marvin Harrison there.
Right.
You know, which he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah,
that's
but you don't
want
to, I just gave up four draft picks to come up and get Marvin Harrison, mm-hmm. and I don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, those are draft day deals. You're right. Unless you get the two.
Yeah, unless you get the two.
Yeah.
So he has Cardinals taking Harrison. The Chargers take Malik Nabers.
Okay. Yeah.
The Giants take Adunzie.
Yeah. I think that's the move there. Any chance they go McCarthy, in your opinion?
I keep seeing that.
Yeah.
More and more.
I that's the only wrinkle. I mean, I can see that being a possibility. They did so much on their O line, though. They need to find pass catchers.
At seven, the Titans take Joe Alt.
It's like the chalkiest pick of the planet. Yeah.
Brock Bauer is still available. At eight, the Falcons take Dallas Turner.
Okay.
The Falcons would be a trade-out spot there.
I think so, too. I mean, the Bears at nine, if Adunze is gone, is a trade-out spot for me. And Atlanta, almost being forced to take the first defensive player when they're probably not the best player on the board, is a trade-out spot. Because, I mean, not even through the Steelers' eyes, I would have four or five tackles ranked over him.
Yeah.
You know, just pure grades.
At nine, the Bears take Verse.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not real exciting.
At 10, the Jets take Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. See, I don't think Brock Bowers makes it past the Jets.
I don't either. I mean, now that they
That's
have
making
two
more and more sense. They got Tyler Conklin. There's nothing special there at all about Tyler Conklin.
I mean, Mike Williams on a one-year deal.
They're in it to win it this year.
They're in it to win it this year. As I was about to say, Aaron Rodgers is almost 40 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 11, the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, I guess this was a no-trader, I guess.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
At 12, the Broncos take Bo Nix.
We both did that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the fit's there.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense.
I mean, in a perfect world, if this was Broncos Nation Radio, I'd be like, I wonder if we could get Nix at 22.
Yeah.
I mean, but then if you love a quarterback, you take a quarterback.
You take the quarterback, yeah. At 13, the Raiders take J.C. Latham.
Yeah. So he break my heart a little bit. But
he's got
right
him as his number two, yeah.
Bad, yeah.
At 14, Fashanu goes to the Saints.
Okay. This is tackle neighborhood a little here.
15, Quinyon Mitchell goes to the Colts.
He has to look big enough to ride the ride, and he certainly does.
Yeah. At 16, the Seahawks take Troy Fatanu.
Huh. I bet they'd play him at guard right away.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and go from there.
The Jaguars take Terrion Arnold at 17.
They need a corner, yeah. They could go a lot of directions, too.
At 18, he has the Bengals taking Talisi Fuaga, but I wonder if they do that now.
Well, I listened to the podcast.
It's only a one.
He turned it in before the draft. So,
which is good news for the Steelers. Like, if Fuaga fell to them at 20, you sprint to the podium with that one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take Brian Thomas.
I think they are too.
He's an LSU guy. You know, Chase, Burrow, I know they didn't play together. Higgins is a one-year rental at most.
Right.
They'd live in 11 personnel.
Well, there's nothing that says, too, that you don't draft Brian Thomas and then trade Higgins on draft day for like a second-round draft pick.
Exactly. Yeah, and draft another or sign back Tyler Boyd or whatever, too.
Right.
I mean, he would – I think he's going to be a Bengal.
Yeah, I think I'm warming up to that as well. 19, the Rams take Byron Murphy.
That's
who I had him taking, too.
Yeah. Lost Aaron Donald.
At 20, he has the Steelers taking Brian Thomas.
Okay.
Well, I think if you might be able to flip-flop those two, the Bengals-Steelers picks, based on what's transpired here.
I think that's probably how it would go.
And I would sign up right now to
if you get Fraga? Yeah, boom, done. Yeah. Forget about it. Yeah.
I'll take him. I'll take any of those tackles that have gone thus far. Great.
Sign you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
At 21, the Dolphins take Graham Barton.
He would play somewhere in that line.
Yeah, they would figure that out.
That's a real good pick for them.
Yeah.
Like, I might take Barton over Powers Johnson for the Dolphins.
For them, just because they have so many holes.
And they signed the Titans center.
Yeah.
You know.
22, the Eagles take Nate Wiggins.
That's an Eagles-type pick, too.
Yeah.
They're old at corner.
23, Minnesota with their second pick. They may not have this pick.
Yeah.
They take Cooper DeJean.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Coach Flores would be unhappy with that, you know.
24, the Cowboys take Tyler Guyton. I think that, to me, even though I like Mims better, Jerry Jones is an Oklahoma guy.
I would say that to me, I forget who I was listening to. Oh, it was Dane saying Cowboys love Guyton. They don't, you know, they can move Tyler Smith around if they want, but why bother? He's a stud guard.
Yeah.
I also think that's a potential Powers Johnson landing spot, too. You know, but I think that's going to be an
awesome. I think all things considered, they take the Oklahoma guy.
I do, too. I 100% do. I think he's going to end up there.
At 25, the Packers take Leitu, the outside linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot like Van Ness, and, you know, they use first-round picks on defense.
26, the Buccaneers take Xavier Worthy.
They're old at receiver.
That would be one, too, if the Buccaneers take Worthy, because remember, they took Palmer last year.
Yeah.
From Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he did some...
He's okay.
He flashed. He flashed on his rookie
team,
year.
You know, right.
Yeah. So then, if that happens, I'm on the phone with Tampa Bay saying, what will it take to get Goblin off of you?
That's what Mel said. He said, their receivers are not young. They're not burners. I mean, he's a much different style. And Godwin only has 1 year on his left on his deal.
Right.
So maybe he's not long for Tampa.
Yeah. So that would be something I would discuss with them. Like,
and
okay.
Even if it's not him, I mean, it could be the other Texas guy. It could be Franklin. It could be, I mean, there's a lot of McConkie, you know.
At 27, the Cardinals take Chop Robinson.
Okay. And what Mel said in his podcast was, what hurt me most about my mock is I think Chop Robinson is going to be a top 20 pick, and I just couldn't find a spot for him.
That's part of the problem in this draft.
Yeah, which would be great for the Steelers. If he's a top 20 pick, that'd be wonderful.
I think in our mock draft, I'm working my way through this thing, and I'm like, I can't find a spot
I had him going
for Terrion Arnold. Like,
Terrion Arnold's
slipping down. I'm like, but these big guys are going to go. You know, all these offensive linemen are probably going to go somewhere up here.
I've noticed it with the three of us doing these mocks that when you look at the other two that you didn't do for the first time, like, Arnold's not going to get that far. But everyone's looking at mine doing the same thing. Like, Chop Robinson doesn't get to the Ravens. You know, I mean, it's, and you're right. It probably won't be. You know, right.
It's 28. Buffalo takes TJ Tampa. There's one of
his. That was one of his names. He said, I think this guy is going to be a first round pick and the fifth corner off the
board. He's got the size. He's got speed. He's tough.
No one seems to be talking about him, but that was one of them.
At 29, he has the Lions taking Xavier Leggett.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
he could be wide receiver 5.
A big wide receiver, ran a 4.39.
Tough guy. I mean, Detroit likes. Take the top off guy.
That would be a little strange because they've got...
Wouldn't be a ring endorsement for Jameson Williams.
No. Mm-hmm. If they do that, like, what are they doing with Jameson? He's already heading into year 3.
Yeah, and he's not done much.
Yeah.
He hasn't been on the field much.
At 30, the Ravens take Amarius Mims.
Wow. I don't think he gets to 30.
I don't think he gets to 30 either, but I don't see him getting past Baltimore if he does.
No, I'd say they would run the podium for that.
Wow.
I'd say there's a couple names, I think, here at the end.
31 is a shocker.
Yeah.
At 31, he has San Francisco taking Roger Rosengarten, the offensive tackle from Washington. I can't get past with him the national championship game where Michigan guys were just running past him willy-nilly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he's gaining steam or...
He's athletic. There's no doubt about that.
But, pure right tackle. Yeah. Like, I'd consider him a second round.
I wouldn't. I'm not, I don't like him.
Okay.
I don't like him at all.
But Mel's hearing something. I mean, that doesn't mean it's a good pick.
No.
By any means, but yeah.
I mean, their problem is Trent Williams is 36. How much longer is he going to play?
I think they're going to take a
lineman. Yeah, and you're probably going to end up picking down in this part of the draft again next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 32, the Chiefs take a Donnie Mitchell.
Okay. I could see that too, but they're in pretty decent shape at receiver now.
Yeah.
I mean, Marquise Brown's only on a one-year deal, but I could see them taking a tackle.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody, unless you want to take a chance on Sua Mataia, and you probably have Donnie Mitchell as a higher prospect than Sua Mataia.
He helps you win the Super Bowl more this year than Sua Mataia does. Yeah. Maybe Rosengarten, if they think he's a first-round pick. I don't think he's a first-round pick.
I don't think he is either.
And Mel even said something along the lines of, I just wanted to plant that out there because I know a lot of people. You know, he does that all the time. You know, like, I wanted to be the first one to get that in print.
Okay.
So, when he goes
35. I'll believe that one when I see it.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of tackles I like better than him. But it wouldn't break my heart if he went between the two Steeler picks.
Oh, no. You know, no, that would be fine.
Yeah. Especially if you went tackle early.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's my names, though. Yeah. Tampa was the one that I had never seen before. And I can see why. Like, I've never heard anything negative about the guy.
No.
He's huge.
Huge. Right. He's fast.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty to like.
There's plenty to like. And well-coached team. You know, like, I think he's going to go in the top 40 probably.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He might be my.
He never makes it to our second round pick. I know that.
Never. We've never even brought his name up.
Well, maybe early in the process.
Maybe early.
I think early. When we first started doing our first couple of mocks, he was there. And then all of a sudden, he just starts inching up. Yeah. So he's a guy that maybe does sneak in there.
It's funny. There's like 15 names that almost have no chance of being on our team that we might even like.
Yeah.
That are, can't take him in round one, never get to round two, you know, unless there's trading around weirdness, you know?
Yeah.
But he's definitely one of those.
Absolutely. Let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. And earlier this week, we promised you that interview with new Steelers punter Cameron Johnston. We'll get to that when we return, right after this on The Drive.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, where you can visit online at shop.steelers.com. And while I don't expect a lot of people to run out and get these jerseys, you might want, who knows, a Colin or Cameron Johnston. I don't know why I call him Colin Johnston. That's a dude. That's somebody.
Is that somebody?
That's somebody.
Somebody
I
don't know.
Cameron Johnston jersey. He wore number 1 in Philadelphia. Well, he's not going to wear that one here.
Okay.
But he wore number 11 the last three seasons.
That's what we're expecting, huh?
So he could take over Chase Claypool's old number.
Okay. Right? That makes some sense.
There you go.
I think it's a quality
take
edition.
Take the stink off of that one.
Yeah. Kind of bring it back to where it needs to be. Yeah. Claypool yielded a nice result in the end.
Yeah, he did.
Say nice things.
He had a good rookie year.
Yeah, good rookie year.
Yeah.
Not so great.
Outside that, he's still available in free agency. Like,
nope. It says a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people are fed up with his routine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I got the chance to sit down.
Yeah, very cool.
Catch up with Cameron Johnston a little bit earlier this week. Let's hear what he had to say.
You've been in the league for a while now.
So,
what attracted you to come in here?
That's
all right.
Yeah. I mean, I think to be able to play in this, in the AFC North, going to Ohio State, watching all the games on TV, and then it was like to be able to play in this is, massive. And then just wife's from Columbus, Ohio, so to get back up north again too, we wanted to be here, so.
So it worked out well for you.
Worked out.
2-hour drive.
Oh yeah, easy. Worked out incredible. So.
That's where you make your home at all year round.
Yeah, wife, family's there. So,
okay.
Yeah, with a little off season stuff there. So, but no, we can't wait to move here. So.
Oh, great. As I mentioned, you've been kicking now for a while. Like you started out playing Australian rules football. How was that transition? How did that come around?
So I did a program called Pro Kick Australia. So a lot of the punters in college are from that now. So I did that when I was 21, and then got an offer from Ohio State. So was able to go there for 4 years, and loved the moment of that. And then been in the NFL ever since. So, but Nathan Chapman, the coach there, he did an amazing job kind of coaching the guys up and then getting them over here. So,
what is it about that Australian rules football that translates to seeing a lot of Australian punters now?
I'd say that just punting, so like the way you pass the ball in the sport is by punting it.
Yeah.
So the transition itself, especially the college game, works really, really well because of the rollout end over end. And now there's more and more guys are starting to transition onto the NFL too. So it's just a skill set you learn from such a young age that's you could transfer that technique into the punting over here.
Yeah. I assume you've already met with Danny Smith.
Yes, sir.
He's a ball of energy.
Yeah.
You think, I mean, is that just kind of a natural special teams coach thing? I mean, have you seen that everywhere that they're all just nuts?
Yeah, he's incredible, and I can't wait to play for him. I've spoke to Jordan Berry, who's played here, and he absolutely loves him as well. So, to be able to play for him, it's going to be incredible.
In terms of the – obviously, you kicked in Philadelphia, you kicked at Ohio State. Weather's not an issue for you, I assume.
No, we played in Philly for 3 years, played at Ohio State for 4 years. We've seen all the weather you can have in those places. So, it'll be good. So,
that was a new Steelers punter Cameron Johnston. As you heard there, he's kicked in weather.
That was the thing that stuck with me. Yeah. The accent and all the stuff.
He
going
spoke
on
to Jordan Berry. Yeah, they're they're buds at joining the Steelers.
Yeah, that's some insider information there too.
Yeah,
what's it like to be a punter in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, how that's going to be for him. And, I mean, he's kicked in Super Bowls.
Yeah. I mean, you're spending money on a quality starter punter. Yeah. You know, no more questions about it.
Right.
No excuses.
And
you know, no
to
project.
Me,
right.
Yeah, that makes more sense than drafting one and hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people were when Matt Azaria became available
again,
Steelers need to sign him. Why? I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if he can kick in the NFL or not.
He's like drafting a guy.
He's no different than Presley Harvin was coming out a couple years ago.
It might be great.
They were terrible. They were both the punter of the year in the
great
NCAA.
College, right.
The difference is Azaria kicked at San Diego State. How much weather did he kick in?
And we saw how that dealt with Harvin.
Yeah.
Right. No, in this case, I think you want the bird in the hand.
You know what this guy
give
is.
Give me a solid punter that's been around the block, that I've seen wind, rain, snow, et cetera, and it's fine, and you know what you're getting.
I think, he played Australian rules football growing up. I think he changed over when he was like 18.
I think he's a pretty good athlete. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a good athlete, and he's not the biggest guy.
Yeah.
But he's tackled people before.
Yeah. Say he's tackled people before, and maybe he catches a fake punt type of situation or something. You know.
Yeah.
He's not going to embarrass himself out there with that stuff. Harvin wasn't a very good athlete. Come to think of it.
I mean,
he wasn't fast, real fleet of foot. I mean, he could boom it, but wasn't a real athletic guy.
Yeah, this is a guy who is athletic and again can take some of those things that he learned in the Australian rules football and put that to play here in the NFL. Again, if it's a bad snap or something happens there.
You want athletes to punt.
These guys can catch the ball and still get a punt off, and he's done
snaps over his head and adjust to, or maybe he can throw a pass if there's some of the fake stuff. And being a holder is not as easy as you think either, from hand-eye coordination and being consistent with it. And you screw up once, everyone hates you. You know, you can't screw up ever. 0%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a good ad. And again, he's, as he said, his wife is from Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Great. I bet she's happy about it.
He's watched the AFC North games.
Yeah.
Constantly since he's been in the country, because that's when you're in Columbus. You're two hours. You're basically an hour and a half from Cincinnati, an hour and a half from Cleveland, and 2 hours from Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's what you're watching AFC North every Sunday.
And I'm sure that factored in. Like, hey, my wife and I don't know if they have kids or not. I can go home and see the grandparents or spend a week there or whatever.
Where the grandparents can come here
and spend as long as they want or whatever. You're right. So that's nice to be close to home. It's nice to have big game experience as well and kicking weather.
Yeah, so I think he'll I think he'll be a nice addition. It's kind of an under the radar thing, but for as much as the Steelers like to play field position, in that field position game, that's very critical.
I mean, it'd have been if they had him last year, things would have been a little different.
I mean,
there's just no doubt in my mind about that.
They might have pulled out another game that they, because I don't know what it was, but as soon as Presley Harvin was kicking from his own end zone, would be the time that he would hit one that would go. It would go 40. It would go 40 yards, but 40 yards. This is when you're in your own end zone. Mm-hmm. That's the one time that you can just boom it.
Yeah,
you got 100 yards of field to work. Kick it as far as you can.
That's his specialty too.
Yeah,
you know, you would think just let it rip, get the driver out. You know?
And in those situations, more often than not, those are the ones he kind of hit badly.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's mental too. You know, like it's starting to get the weather. I remember I didn't have time, good time weather, confidence. I don't know. I mean, I know very little about punting except for it's a lot of it's above the neck.
You know? Yeah, it's like golf.
Yeah.
You know, it's the swing is similar, just like place kicking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys. Are finally tuned to do what they got to do, and you know,
a nice little special teams upgrade there. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to do it for hour number one, Matt. Matt and I will be back with hour number two of The Drive right after this. You're listening to Steelers Nation Radio.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.